I'm chatting with Arthur Karras, our portfolio manager, Old Mutual Investment Group. Arthur, appreciate the time today. If we look at the retail sector, we can go back 4 years ago, which of course was the pandemic. We came out of the pandemic. We've had load shedding. We've had high inflation. We've had high interest rates. It has been a monumentally difficult 4 years for the broader sector.
Yes, it really has been. We've had one thing after another, and the list of things that you've mentioned isn't long enough. More recently, all of the stores, quite a few of the retailers have mentioned issues with the ports, inability to get stock through the ports and into the shops, and that's especially important when we have a change of seasons, like we're about to go into winter. South Africans only buy winter clothes for a short time of the year. If those clothes aren't on the shelves in time, they simply won't get sold.
What are we looking for? I mean, the load shedding isn't gone, but I think my sense is that corporate SA is learning to deal with it. The consumer remains under pressure. Pandemic, of course, is in the rearview mirror. Are we expecting a better 2024, even if only slightly better?
Well, you can add to all of the things you've mentioned. There have been company-specific issues that have affected quite a few of these businesses. So a couple of them have had issues around software rollouts, where they've been unable to do business or struggled with that, so that's affected a few of them. Some of them have simply had too much stock going into a particular period, not being able to move that fast enough, which is very important in a retail group. Then others have had issues like simply missteps in some of their businesses. Pepco and the issues that they're facing in Ackermans would be an example of that. So we expect some of those issues to abate going forward. So making a bit easier comparison going forward. So that definitely would be the case. We'd expect things to be a little bit better. We would also expect the share prices to perform a little out of step with maybe the profits, because we are all looking forward. The stock market tends to discount the future. So we're anticipating lower interest rates starting somewhere in the latter part of this year and taking the pressure off the consumer. And typically, the more consumer-leveraged companies, so those would be the clothing retailers, they tend to anticipate this, and the share prices tend to tick up long before we ever see that first interest rate cut. So we expect to see some of that and have already seen some of that this year.
Yeah, we certainly have. And the one that springs to mind, because it's one I've been watching closely, is Mr. Price. Would that also then hold true for the more predominantly cash retailers?
It would. If you think about clothing, it's something you go and purchase when you've got the money to do so. If you don't have the money to do so, you simply like wait a few more months, or you just bend down or the like. But it would definitely affect the cash retailers. Quite a few of the cash retailers have got some credit exposure. But even if you don't have an account with a particular retailer, I think the fact that you're spending less on your bond, less on your car finance, that would put a bit more cash in your pocket and maybe see you at the mall on the weekend looking for a new pair of pants.
Take your point. And if we look at some individual sectors and quickly focus on food, typically more resilient. As you said, I don't need to buy the new T-shirt, but I do need to have dinner for my family and I this evening. But we've seen own goals there from Spar and Pick n Pay, all sorts of chaos going there. But this should, as a rule, be a more defensive space. And at the moment, it's ShopRite's entirely.
It has been ShopRite sector entirely. You can also see it in Woolworths. So Woolworths, their food business has been outstanding during this tough patch for consumers. So really at the bottom end and right at the top, proving very defensive. The other two, Spar, really, I think, derailed a little bit by its offshore misadventures in Poland. But its local business is still doing reasonably well, even if the offshore businesses have been a bit distracting. But the real crisis there has been Pick n Pay. That's been brewing for some time. That company is now really struggling. It certainly hasn't provided any kind of defense for its shareholders.
I mentioned load shedding at the top. It's still ongoing, and I mean, it's alleviating a little bit. We're not sort of getting stage six, and I touch wood as I say that. But this is something surely the businesses have learned to live with at a cost. I mean, this is not a cheap endeavor at all, running businesses on generators.
It has been a very expensive exercise. I think the way that we look at it is to say that about a year ago, if you went to an investor conference and spoke to a lot of the retail-facing companies, all they were talking about was how many days of trading they'd lost to load shedding and what the cost was of generators and the like. This year round, not much of an update on that. In fact, wasn't really a topic of conversation. Now, the costs are in the base, and any kind of easing of load shedding means a little bit of saving on that score. Some people did still mention that the load shedding affects consumer sentiment. It tends to depress people. It doesn't make you cheerful and want to go to the shops. But less of a, it's not a minus. It's in the base, and if things eventually get better, you could expect that to be a positive.
I take your point. I mean, again, ShopRite, because I know the number, they're spending, what, almost like $1 billion a year on diesel. If load shedding were to disappear tomorrow, that billion, it would drop to the bottom line.
Yes, I think there's not much. I think at the moment, I think we're a little bit concerned about whether, you know, when that's going to happen.
Sure.
Yes, it could be a saving that the companies could make.
Are there any in the broad retail spaces we look at that you think have really, I mean, ShopRite's absolutely one of them. We've touched on that. Others that have really navigated what, as we said at the top of the show, has been a really, really tough 4 years for the sector?
Well, I mentioned two of them. I mean, the one is Truworths. Now, Truworths is a company that has stuck very much to its credit retail business in South Africa and has not navigated away from that the way that some of the other clothing retailers have. A few years ago, they purchased a shoe retailing business in the UK called Office, and that was about 10% of their business. It's a lot bigger now because the shoe manufacturers have kind of restructured the way that they sell their products in the UK, leaving a lot more space for the resellers, the likes of an Office, rather than their own stores. So that business has grown extremely well and has seen its margins go up a lot. So that is a business that has done really well out of that. In the last 12 months or two, it's up some 46%. So the market is recognizing the benefit of this business that it bought overseas. It has performed, I think, better than what most people expected. The other one is the pharmacy chains, especially Clicks.
Yeah.
They've really still got a long runway ahead of them in terms of rolling out pharmacies. In most countries, independent pharmacies, those that aren't part of a chain, make up about 10% of the market. In South Africa, I think that's still well above 30%. So there's still quite a bit of room for these corporate chains to like roll out pharmacies and take market share from the independents that way. And I think that means that there's still years of growth ahead. The business model is a good one. So the companies are able to fund their own growth, pay out a decent dividend to the shareholders, and still be able to buy back some of their shares on top of that, while not having to build up any debt. So a really strong business model in action
there. As you're saying Clicks, and I'm thinking about their club card, and it's a quick last question. The loyalty programs we've seen from most of the retailers, do they make a seriously marked difference, or is it more just some PR and marketing, or can they have a real difference to the bottom line?
I think you get people that love those products or that love the loyalty cards and that will base their spending plans around where they can get points or who offers the best scheme. So I think if you're a retailer, you have to have something like that. You can't ignore it. But I think what it also does is it provides the retailer with a lot of information about their clients. It tells them, you know, who you are, where you live, what kind of things you buy, what offers you respond to and the like, so they can tailor make your offerings to you. There's a story I heard many years ago. It's an example of the retailers knowing people better than what you think. A young lady in America got a letter from Walmart saying, congratulations on your baby, coming about. And they could tell that she was having a child based on the products that she was purchasing at Walmart, even though she hadn't yet told her parents that she was having a child. So that's an example of the kind of information that you can get from these customer loyalty programs. I mean, that's long before the advent of something like AI and the amount of data crunching we're doing today.
Yeah, I mean, I take your point. It's around that behavior. We'll leave it there. That's Arthur Karas, Portfolio Manager, Old Mutual Investment Group. Arthur, appreciate the time.